Blog Talk Radio.
Ooh. Yeah, yeah. You already know what time it is. It's that official time. Where we take this worldwide. Let's go. Listen. So now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go!
Listening to the Pancakes and Power Slam Show by Crave Wrestling on Blog Talk Radio. Be sure to follow Crave Wrestling on Twitter at Crave Wrestling and join the Facebook fan page Crave Wrestling.
And we are live at 11 Culligan, funky like a monkey, if you will. This is the Pancakes and Power Slam Show, ladies and gentlemen. I am Chris Featherstone, as always. Follow us at Crave Wrestling on Twitter and join the Facebook fan page Crave Wrestling. Now, this is we're almost at 5.5 years, 285 episodes of the show. And there's not a few people that have made the Triple Crown Club. That's what I call them. I call them the Triple Crown Club. That means people I've reviewed three times or more. So far, we're at Marty Elias, we're at Sean Devari, we're at Ken Anderson, and I think those are the only three people that have made the Triple Crown Club on the Pancakes and Power Slam show, but this person is the newest member of the Pancakes and Power Slam show Triple Crown Club. He is here for your questions and answers, ladies and gentlemen. Triple Crown Club, welcome, congratulations, he is here, he is now. How are you tonight, sir?
Yo, what's good? Thanks for having me for the third time, Chris. It's an honor. What's the word?
Absolutely.
What's good in the hood?
Congratulations.
Appreciate it. Do I get like a ring, or should I be expecting a crown or something in the mail?
You got crowd applause. That's
okay. All right.
I'll give you one. I'll give you one more. Absolutely.
And ain't I blessed?
Yes. So we are. Man, we're getting a whole bunch of comments right now on the Facebook Live, WrestleZone.com. Go ahead and ask your questions to JTG without further ado. Before we get into questions, let the listeners know what you're up to nowadays and what independent dates you got coming up.
Oh, yeah. So October 19th, got a show coming up in Florida. FCW, some crime time action. The show was actually September 9th, but because of Miss Irma down there, we had to reschedule it. So, yeah, we'll be making our way down there October 19th. That's the middle of the week on a Thursday. Got some shows overseas. Can't think of the promotion right now, but that will also be in October. Still auditioning, and I still got some other acting stints that I did. I haven't seen it yet, but it might be out there already. I forget about them, and then fans remind me. I did something with Dolph's younger brother, Ryan Nemeth. We did a Taco Bell commercial. I think that should be on YouTube by now. That was fun. We also did something for Kevin Hart's Funny or Die, his new subscription channel. I think it's called, what is it called? Campus Law.
Okay.
I think it's called Campus Law, so you guys can check that out. And I did something else last month. Can't think of it. There's so much going on, I forget the name of the projects.
Mm-hmm.
But I have my own project that I'm trying to launch at the end of this year in December. I'm launching a new social media app, so I'll keep you guys abreast of that on my Instagram and Twitter. Instagram is JTG121084, and Twitter is
JTG1284. So is the 1284 your month and birth year?
Yes, it is.
Ah, nice. Good stuff. So you'll be celebrating a birthday here in a few months.
In a few months, and I'm hoping to have my new app launched by then. So for a birthday gift, you guys can download my app and leave a nice review. That's all
nice.
I want for my birthday.
He wants the app more than that money. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome stuff, man. So let's get into some questions. This is from Matthew. This is all Russell's own Facebook Live. Matthew asks, why does WWE creative team struggle to write for black talent? Fantastic question.
Oh, I remember when I was there, Matthew. There was only one African-American on the creative writing team, and we worked together. But before that, this was like towards the end of my career, but before that, there weren't too many brothers on the or sisters on the creative writing team. And Chad and I would usually have to come up with our own promo and have them look over it again. I remember them asking us, what does that mean? It's like, then we had to explain it to them and get their approval.
Wow.
I remember there was a situation where they wanted us to say mollywop because they saw it in the Urban Dictionary. And I'm like, I'm not saying mollywop. I don't think that kids are saying that right now. It was like, oh, but right. It was an Urban Dictionary. It was like, yeah, but, yeah.
Right. Mollywop. Wow, yeah. So basically, because there was only one black person on the creative team, it's like everything had to be done based on stereotype.
Pretty much, yeah. That's the easiest way to go for them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, Crime Time is very stereotypical. I mean, it was.
The thing with Crime Time is that we came up with the look. We actually came up with that whole gimmick.
Yeah,
and then they just made it bigger than what they put a magnifying glass on it and put it on there, and we just had a platform.
Yeah. I think the fact that you guys came as baby faces helped a lot too. Just really thinking about in hindsight with the gimmick, I think if you guys would have came in as heels, I think that would have been incredibly terrible.
Yeah.
I think that would have been really, really bad. Coming in as baby faces helped a lot, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was more because that gimmick came across as satire. We came across as Robin Hood. We'll steal from the talent backstage and then auction off to the crowd, and that has never been done before. We became instant fan favorites.
Yep, absolutely. It didn't take long at all for y'all to have some really
long for us to get heat too.
Yeah. Yeah, it really didn't take y'all long for to.
You guys had that Enzo heat.
Yeah, you know what? That's a good way to start. We're just as far as Enzo heat. Were there any people, so you were there from what, 04 to 16 or 15?
06.
2006 I mean,
2014.
Okay, so 8 years, which is a very long time. So in the 8 years that y'all were there, that you were there specifically, Was there anyone that you can recall that had Enzo heat? I guess that's a term now, Enzo heat.
Enzo heat. No. Not that I think about it. When I first started there, Miz had some heat. I know he was kicked out of the locker room, but I heard about that. I wasn't really there to witness that. But he was able to survive after that. Good for him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, were there anyone who would come around in the locker room and everyone would be like, oh my goodness, here he comes again, or here she comes again?
No, not really, no. Not that I could think of right now off the top of my head, yeah.
So Enzo was really
bad, but... Well, I met Enzo once at Equinox, and he was a pretty cool dude. He was on the treadmill. I don't think he recognized me with the beard. And then I told him who I was. He's like, oh, yeah, I know who you are, man. What's up, man? How's everything going? And we chopped it up for a little bit. But, yeah, he lives out here in Cali.
Oh, okay. Yeah. For all the New York and New Jersey love that he has, he lives in Cali. So that's quite interesting. Very, very interesting. Who were your favorite? This is from, I'm about to just butcher your name. I apologize. Giuseppe, I'm going to call you G. I'm going to call you G. G. So from G, who were your favorite people to wrestle against in WWE?
All right, Giuseppe. I've got that right.
Nice.
my favorite opponents during my 8 years with the WWE would definitely have to, I got to put Jericho on top of the list. I had to put Jericho on my list. I got to say this. Jericho, you just made the list. I have to say
you
that.
Just, oh, hold on. I got some. I
you
got some
just made
you.
The list.
Who else? Big Show was also great to work with. At first I thought it would be difficult to work someone, work someone like Big Show, but he's not stiff at all. He's easy to work with, and all ego aside, you can see that he done that with Braun Strowman. He's out there he wants the whole match to look good. He doesn't care. A lot of talent, they worry about their ego and their character too much, and you have a crappy match. But Big Show, he puts all that aside. And he's very professional. Who else I had fun with? I enjoy working with Dolph. Dolph is a great talent to work with. I like working with people who could put their ego aside and do what's best for the match and not, for their character. Everybody comes out shining. Even though if I'm putting you over, everyone comes out looking good.
What are your thoughts on Dolph? Now, he's someone who's uberly talented, and he was world champ, twice, one for a hiccup and the other one for a half hiccup. And, throughout the years, babyface one, heel run. I mean, he's just hit such a glass ceiling for a number of years. Now he's doing some type of mockery gimmick, which is funny, but it seems not promising whatsoever. What are your thoughts overall on Dolph Ziggler? I know that he's really good to work with. I know quite a few people who were working in WWE who still do. And a lot of people, almost unanimous that Dolph Ziggler is good to work with and safe. And, he likes to put the other person over by the way he sells. What is it about Dolph Ziggler, in your opinion, that's lacking? What is that missing element in Dolph Ziggler that the WWE doesn't see?
I don't know. It could be something so small and minor. Like, he has the look. I think he's pretty good on the mic. He's a great talent in the ring, easy to work with. Everybody loves working with him. I don't know. Sometimes, I don't know. I really, really don't know what else Dolph has to do. I don't know. Put on weight? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you're true. I mean, that helps you, didn't it? You put on some weight.
Yeah, true. Well, I don't know if it helped me. I don't have a contract, but yeah, I'm looking pretty good these days.
Yeah, I saw you at we were at I don't remember if you remember, but I saw you at the Shenanigans at WrestleMania weekend at
Oh, in Orlando. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I was like the big muscular type security guard looking guy with my
That was you.
with my media pass. Yeah, it's like, do I ask you to, you know, it was fun. It was so funny because people were really asking me if they can go to the bathroom. That was so funny.
I mean, it was absolutely
hilarious. And I'm a nice guy. People call me like a gentle giant, but you know, it's one of those things that people just. I thought that was so funny that people were asking me to go to the bathroom. I was just like, man, go. I mean, I'm not. I don't work here. I thought that was so funny, but. Yeah, I mean, that's the funny thing. If you put on weight, you know what I mean? It's just one of those things that you get looked at more. And, you know,
look at gender. It works for gender. That's the guy you want to use as an example.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I totally agree with that. Travi asks, do you think Matt Hardy should be allowed to use his broken gimmick in the WWE? And how should he re-debut it?
I'm not too, privy to the broken gimmick. I heard about it, but I haven't, and I've seen a few promos on social media, but I haven't really seen it in full effect. I want to see it on WWE, and I would love to see, Matt break out, and do the broken gimmick, because I really love to see what the hype is about.
Mm-hmm.
Up to speed on the broken gimmick and how he did it in TNA?
Yeah, absolutely. It started off as a heel, and you know he was feuding. He was like just teaming with Matt. I mean, with Jeff. It was just kind of like a dead end type of Hardy's nostalgia, Hardy's again, they broke up and they were going against each other just as Matt as a heel. And Jeff was defeating Matt consecutively. And because Matt was losing to Jeff consecutively, he went into this, he called it broken state. And he was trying to find himself. And he would call Jeff Brother Nero. And his mission was to delete Brother Nero. And it's so funny because it was just the incarnation of Matt Hardy. This was by far and still is by far the best part. And so what ended up happening is he ended up, you know, they had that, I'm sure WrestleZone will let me know what it's called. I don't remember what it's called. It was at the Hardy compound. It was, Final Deletion. That's what it's called. So,
okay.
He says, thank you, Chris, for the butchery, LOL. thank you, G. as far as Matt Hardy again, but so he had this delete, you know, he kept saying delete. That was his mission, was to delete Brother Nero. And they had the final deletion match. It was very theatric. They had it at some type of I think there was like Jeff Hardy's compound or one of the Hardy's compounds, just like mountains and all types of crap. Really, very fun, very theatric match. Probably the most popular match, one of the most popular matches in TNA history. Matt Hardy defeated Jeff Hardy. He was underneath Matt Hardy for a while as like his peasant. You know, he wanted to make him obsolete. That's the reason why he would always say obsolete. ended up getting so over with the fans that people just start chanting delete, delete, obsolete, and they end up becoming baby faces because it was so hot. It was so hot, and they end up winning the tag team championships, and they call themselves the mission was to be the greatest tag team champions of all of space and time. So they went to the Crash, they went to some other independent shows and won a bunch of tag team championships, went to Ring of Honor, won tag team championships, and then that led them to WWE.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Thank you for the briefing.
Yeah, absolutely. Delete. Yeah. So yeah, it was cool stuff, and so people were looking for that because that was really Matt Hardy's thing. Sherry asks, "Hey, what up, JTG? What do you think of New Day, and how you think they are doing with them?"
Oh, like I said before, and I'll say it again. I'm a big fan of the New Day. I don't know where it was going in the beginning, but they took something. They took the lemons and they made a hell of a lemonade out of it.
Yeah.
They're having fun. I like to see brothers having fun and making money. Shoot, they're making a ton of money.
Great point. Yeah, I totally agree with that.
And I saw Kofi break out of his comfort zone and, you know, become something larger than life. So I'm happy for all three of them. But I was really like this year, and that was 2018. 2017 is almost done. I really like to see Kofi. Maybe even win the Rumble, or I know that doesn't look like it would happen right now, but I would love to see Kofi win the Rumble, get some steam behind him, get a push, and, you know, hopefully be like the first recognized African-American, you know, WWE champion someday. I don't know if it'll be next year or the year after, but yeah.
Very, very bold request. I wouldn't really call it a prediction, but definitely a bold request.
Kofi's a homie, and he has a lot of talent, so I would love to see him up there with the title.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely earned his stripes. He's been there 10 years, so you know, he's definitely got the credentials and the resume for it. Let's see, we got after Ziggler's contract runs out, where is he going?
Oh, not TNA, not Global Force Wrestling.
I agree with that, definitely. I don't think that. Did you ever? Did they ever try to contact you?
Did they? I heard they were trying to get in contact with me. I heard Jeff was inquiring about Crime Time, but I didn't really push it too much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not.
Is that because of just the instability of the company?
Yeah, it's not consistent. I heard horror stories about them not paying their talent on time, and my gimmick is all about my money, so
yeah,
my money got to be straight.
That's exactly right. Yeah,
my check gonna be there on Tuesday. It need to be there Tuesday. I ain't trying to, you know, WWE. They're professional. They said they gonna have your check. They have your check. That's what I'm used to.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I've interviewed, like I said, I've had Ken Anderson on the show 3 times. He's mentioned about that lack of pay on time. I've had Gunner on the show. He said the same thing as far as just wrestlers not getting paid on time. So,
ain't about that life.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I mean, that doesn't make sense, man. It's just very, very poor business. Matthew asks, Corbin or Cruz? So Baron Corbin or Apollo Crews, which one?
I'll have to go with Apollo Crews. I like his athletic ability. He has a great look. I don't know about that smiling, but I think if he cuts the smiling out, and
yeah.
I think he might have something good going.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
What do you think? What do you think about Apollo Crews? I see a few of his matches. I haven't followed his whole career, but the few matches that I saw, you know, like for a big guy, he gets around pretty good in the ring.
Oh, I've seen him live, man. The guy is huge. I mean, like, he is huge, and he's so agile that he's very impressive. It's just when he was UHA Nation and before he came to NXT, you know, I was a big fan of his work. But I'm a traditionalist, man. I'm all about characters. You can wrestle until you're blue in the face, but it doesn't matter if you didn't have a character when it comes to the big leagues and WWE.
Yeah,
and, you know, with him, I mean, he is one of the blandest people in all of WWE. Just I'm sad to say that, because in NXT he was, you know, gaining some steam, but there's just nothing going with him as far as just character wise. And that's the reason why he's so still. So really unfortunate for that. Peter asks, "What is who is your favorite?" Well, let's go with Christopher. Let's go with Christopher first. Hey, JTG, who is your favorite tag team of all time?
Favorite tag team of all time. Oh, man. I got to say I'm a big Rocker fan. Big, I love the Rockers. Yeah, the entrance, their theme song, their tag team moves, how they moved in sync, and they were just their look. They were just cool. When I was like 5 or 6, man, I wanted to be a Rocker. I wanted to be a third member. So you definitely have to be the Rocker.
LOD for me, number one, and number two is the Steiners. Yeah, I'm a big LOD and Steiners fan for me. Peter asks, JTG, is it true you used to hide in the back so you wouldn't be selected to wrestle in a match?
Yeah, I heard that nonsense from Curt Hawkins. I wanted to hear what kind of context he said it in. I don't know if he was saying it as a joke or if he was serious. I didn't even, address it. But no, I never used to hide in the back. He's like, I used to get there. If my name wasn't on the list to wrestle, like when I got there, of course I want to perform. I'm an entertainer. But if my name wasn't on the list, you know, I would not even change into my,
trunks.
Gym clothes. You know, usually when you get there, talent would change into their gym clothes and just go by the ring. And I didn't even bother. It was just like, I would get frustrated. I would just stay in the locker room, go on my laptop or go on my phone or go to catering and go back and forth. Yeah. But no, I did not hide.
Why would he say that?
I don't know. You know, some people want to make an example, make themselves look good, and, you know, try to call others to make themselves look good. I don't know.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. A couple more. Let's see. Mike asks, what is your favorite breakfast food?
Favorite breakfast food. Right now, I'm going to have to say, which is a very weird question to ask, but Jamba Juice, man. I'm a Jamba Juice fan right now. I've been going to Jamba Juice every morning. I get my protein smoothie and acai bowl, and I'm good for the day.
Nice. Awesome. So Chris and Roger, basically the same thing. It's 2-1. This is the last question here. You ever going to come back or even crime time together? Chris asked that, and Roger asked JT. So, how are you doing now? And is there a chance of you coming back?
Life is great right now. Is there a chance of Shad and I coming back and doing the crime time gimmick? Man, you know, would I love to come back to WWE? That would be fun. We love our fans. We love entertaining our fans. The Crime Time gimmick was probably one of the best time in my career. 8 years of the career. I did it with Shad 4 or 5 years. That was the best time of my career. I had a lot of fun. Going back, the money has to be right. You know, I'm no longer a fan. I'm a businessman now, so it has to make sense.
I like it. Absolutely.
You know, someone told me this. Real quick, I just want to say that someone told me this before. You don't want to be a mark in the business. You want to leave a mark in the business. So that always stuck with me.
Very interesting. I kind of agree with that. I think you can be a mark and leave a mark at the same time. So
You can do that too.
Awesome stuff, man. I got one more question for you real quick before we close. I wanted to talk to you. You've been on the show 3 times, and I've never talked about just your thoughts on being an NXT pro compared to NXT nowadays. Like, just what do you think about just your time as a pro and just how it is nowadays? And just no one really would have ever seen that type of evolution to NXT. What are your thoughts on that?
Being an NXT pro, that was a lot of fun. When we got called into the office, I remember it was me, Chavo, Chris Masters, who else was in the room? I can't remember. But we got called into the room and we were told that we were going to be pros. And if we didn't, this is like our last chance or some shit like that. Like, if we didn't get over or do something, that this is our last chance. And I'm like, whatever. I'm just going to go out there, have fun as usual. And yeah. And I had fun. I literally had fun doing the NXT Pro. I was able to cut. Like, after a while, it became, it wasn't even, like, the show just, they forgot about, it wasn't even a contest anymore. Like, I thought there was, like, it just kept going on and on. Like, it was never-ending season. I thought it was supposed to be, like, the other seasons, all the other seasons, there was a winner. But this one just kept going and going. And, like, my rookie got eliminated, and I was still on the show.
Yeah. I didn't really understand that. That was a bit weird. Just as far
but
as
it was an opportunity to, like, after the show, after he was gone, I had the opportunity to express more of my creative side and also my promo skills. And
yeah.
Vince was, you know, Vince, when I came backstage, he was like, you're pretty good on that mic there. He like, you finally, you know, you remember, you know, I wasn't just shatting JTG the crime time. It was just JTG now. He saw I could hold my own.
All right, before you go, give me a good Vince impression, even if you butcher it.
Ah, JTG, how you doing? Crime time. Ah, money, money, yeah, yeah.
Yes,
that's
perfect.
That's how you agree to sometimes.
Are you serious? That's how he would just...
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. He would...
Ah,
he would
crime time.
Oh, wow. It's hilarious. Oh, so he would say, hey, JTG, money, money, yeah, yeah. So basically, he acknowledges, like, he seems like he's, like, just a walking gimmick radar. You know, I mean, like, everybody in the locker room is, like, affiliated with their gimmicks.
If he likes me.
If he likes me. Yeah. Otherwise, you're what? Like, how else? Like, if he doesn't necessarily like you, how does he affiliate with you?
You'll get a brief, two-eye contact, and going there,
oh.
And then no handshake. Just keep it moving.
Keep it moving. Well, thankfully. Primetime wasn't one of those people, thankfully. And man, it's great to see you doing fantastic. And once again, let the listeners know where to find you, some dates coming up, and where to find you on social media.
On social media, on Twitter, you can find me at JTG1284, Instagram JTG121084, and you want to pay close attention to my social media because, again, like I said, at the end of the year, I'm launching a cool, innovative new app. I'm going to come back on the show, of course, and we're going to talk about it, Chris.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sounds
all
like
right.
A plan. You're going to come back on the show, and you'll get to, let's see, I got something for that right here. Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I'll give you another applause for that, actually. We're making the Triple Crown Club. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for all the fantastic comments. We've got some No Mercy trivia coming up, and I'll give you one more applause. Did you ever compete in No Mercy? Compete at the No Mercy pay-per-view?
I have no idea. I couldn't tell you. Some of the matches I see fans put up on social media, I was like, I did that? I'm like, oh, shoot. My memory is a blur right now. My wrestling career. But real quick, what phone do you use? You have an Android or you have a Apple?
Droid for life.
You have a Droid? All right, cool. I'm going to send you one of the latest builds for my app. And me and you going to – let me. I want to get your thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
You be first few to get a sample of the app, and give me your thoughts.
Fantastic. Sounds good. Listeners, thank you so much for all your comments. Great interaction. JTG will be back with us soon. And until then, man, be well.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, JTG, once again, third time on the show. Fantastic as always. Listen, without further ado, we got a bunch of stuff. We got some trivia. We got some Raw and SmackDown thoughts. So let's get right into it, ladies and gentlemen. Let's bring on the co-host with the most, Evan Tech Proud. How are you tonight, sir?
Doing good, brother. How you feeling?
I'm doing fantastic, man. Let's get right into the No Mercy trivia like I do. Hold the card. If you're listening live right now through WrestleZone Facebook Live, I'm going to hold the card up. And there it goes. Who defeated the team of Casey James and Idol Stevens to retain the WWE tag titles at No Mercy 2006? Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I brought it back. I said it. Casey James and Idol Stevens.
Michelle McCool.
Yes.
As the manager.
Michelle McCool. Absolutely.
Take
Casey James and Idol Stevens. Absolutely. So lots and lots of fun. Lots and lots of fun. Lots and lots of fun. So let's get into the headlines without further ado, ladies and gentlemen. Here we go. Big Show having hip surgery. And wrote him off. You know, the match he had with Braun Strowman, the cage match. He did a an elbow drop. You know, he's having surgery on his right hip. He did an elbow drop off the second rope, and that definitely doesn't help his right hip. There were reports that he was supposed to have surgery anyways, so that wasn't, you know, basically regardless of the match outcome, it was going to you know, it wasn't going to make a difference anyways. But you know, it's one of those things, man. Big Show has had a fantastic career. Christopher, great job. You see that? Paul London and Brian Kendrick, fantastic. Fantastic. Yes, I was a big fan of Paul London and Brian Kendrick as a team.
Actually.
That was
true.
Paul London
was the
show.
Funny theme music they had.
I love the theme music.
Yeah,
I loved the theme song. Absolutely. Yeah. So just your thoughts. Just your thoughts overall on Big Show. You know, he wasn't the top guy, like the top guy ever. You know, he was a good hand. I think his face heel turns really
back and forth. We got like 80 of them.
Yeah. New Zealand representing Facebook Live right now. Kingston Eclipse from New Zealand. Good stuff, man. He said, since I got it right, can I get a shout out for two wrestling pages on Facebook? Yes. Absolutely. If you get the answer right, let me know what the shout out, and I will definitely do that. I've got about 15,000 listeners nowadays, probably more. I haven't had that tally, and I haven't tallied that in a while. I'm sure it's more now, but yeah. If you get, I usually pay people to give shout outs, but if you get a answer right on Facebook with the trivia. Whatever wrestling Facebook page you'd like to shout out, I shall do that. Evan, your thoughts on Big Show?
Big Show, medium show, is the only one who survived the fall from Cobo Hall. Halloween Havoc.
Came right back.
I think the fastest miracle in wrestling besides when The Rock got a NWO perform vehicular manslaughter and assault. The Rock came back 2 weeks later with just taped ribs. But that's beside the point.
Right.
Hey, Biggie Show, him and Mark Henry, the AARP club, they're getting their retirement checks at WWE. Big Show, not one of the top guys anymore, but you know, he's there to help. He has enough name value to where he can help the younger stars. And I mean, honestly, nobody's really going to miss him. We didn't see Big Show in what, weeks and months before he just came back out the blue for this end zone cast angle. Now he's out with hip surgery, and I mean, is at a point where nobody's really going to miss him? And he come back in time for the Survivor Series or the Rumble, it'll be cool.
Yeah.
He's definitely in the twilight of his career.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Great shape, though. He's definitely great shape. Shout out to that. What are your thoughts on the Monster Among Men winning? I read the article where they might end in a DQ. The same article said Paul Heyman has a lot of pull on what happens with the Beast. I think that Brock Lesnar will win. Early predictions right there for No Mercy. We'll get to that. Actually, the go-home show is next week for No Mercy, so we'll get to that as far as predictions, but there you go. There's my prediction. It might change. It might change within a week, but there's my prediction as of now, and tune in next week to see if it has stuck. Next question, ladies and gentlemen. Next question. Are you ready? No, I said, are you ready? Here it is. Who did Bobby Lashley defeat in his pay-per-view debut at No Mercy 2005? Who did Bobby Lashley defeat in his pay-per-view debut at No Mercy 2005? Hint, I've had him on the show before, actually. I've had him on the show. I have no idea what show. I don't remember the number, but I've had him on the show before. Next. Nope, not Mr. Kennedy. Not Mr. Kennedy yet. That was not Mr. Kennedy. Good guess, but not Mr. Kennedy. Kazuchika Okada tops the PWI 500. Life controversy, believe in Kevin Owens. You know, Kevin Owens is number three. I personally think that was too high. I definitely think Kazuchika Okada was hands down number one without question at all. Fantastic matches against Omega. They only count the Wrestle Kingdom match. Perhaps the Dominion match. Dominion was in June. I think the cutoff for the selection is either May or June. But so they might have counted the Dominion match. But regardless, even the one at Wrestle Kingdom was probably the match of the year. And, you know, and his matches with Fale, his matches with Naito. You know, it's just. He definitely has done such an amazing job in 2017, yeah. Really the past few years, but and he's one of my top five going right now, and I think he's just absolutely incredible, man, and definitely well-deserved. As far as Kevin Owens is concerned, you know, he was so back and forth. We're good on SmackDown here and there as far as just – it really seems like they've got some things going with him. We'll talk about that in a minute. But as far as just, you know, his 2017, it's been so up and down. And just, you know, his late 2016, yeah, he was champ. He was universal champ. But it was, you know, it was Jericho. Jericho was really the one that made him, you know, relevant. But and really put him over. But it was just something missing. Still is to me, just something missing about Kevin Owens, that to be number three in the 500. It was a bit steep for me. Kenny Omega, I believe, was number five. Roman Reigns number four. So you know, there were some good jumps. You know, there were some people who like two of like Brian Kendrick jumped up a whole lot. Moose jumped up a whole bunch. Battle of Fale jumped up a bunch this year. But, you know, as far as Kevin Owens, I'm not sold on him being number three right now.
Yeah, if this is Kevin Owens last year or when he debuted with Cena, against Cena, I forgot what year it was. I don't know if it was 16 or 15. Okay. But I would even attest for Samoa Superman, Roman Reigns being higher than Owens. Because right now you got to look at how they're being used. Owens been back and forth, flipping around, inconsistent, feuding with AJ a million times. He's a face of America, feud with Jericho. You know, after the whole him and Jericho's stint, what has Kevin Owens really done by himself in the singles capacity
right.
that really made you go, oh, wow. And we are, I mean, you know, I've met Kevin Owens and talked to him, and you had great guy, nicest guy. But let's be honest, since he, after Jericho and Owens, he hasn't done much. He's been fairly flopped. And
no,
I don't
feel
he deserves even top five. I mean, even look at Okada, look at Omega, definitely they deserve the top five. Even Reigns, love Reigns and hate Reigns. He's been pretty big. His feed was, you know, he got him and Cena right now.
Yeah.
The feed was Strowman, him air quote beating Taker, air quote retirement Taker. You have a big poll and a big argument for Reigns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
But and right now WWE, the only people that should be in top five should be Reigns or Strowman. Everybody else could just be below top 10. Because if you really look at WWE right now, who are they really pushing? Who are they really using? That's higher than Reigns and Strowman. Of course, AJ, but AJ is still writing off just being AJ. So I would even put Shane McMahon higher than Kevin Owens. Because he's done more from the past year than what Kevin Owens has done. I mean, anybody that's listening on Russell's Own Live or let me disagree, it's all cool. We're not hating on Kevin Owens, but let's be realistic. He's all about who's getting the biggest push, who's the most relevant right now. This is not 2015. Kevin Owens is not that relevant. Not that he's not relevant, but he's not the first thing that you think of when you think of WWE, sports entertainment, or wrestling as a whole. You think of wrestling as a whole, WWE, right now you still think of Reigns, Strowman, Omega, Okada, Tanahashi, even Nakamura.
Yep.
Or I would even put Rude.
Yes. Bobby Roode moved up to number 9, I believe. I think he moved up like 70 spots, just about around 70 spots. So that was good stuff. Someone says no one likes Roman Reigns, and this is what you get. Absolutely incorrect. But as far as the correct answer, Simon Dean. I saw people trying to give answers, but they were incorrect. Good. Thanks for trying, though. Simon Dean is the correct answer. Next question is, here we go. Who defeated The Undertaker in a handicap match at No Mercy 2005? Who defeated The Undertaker in a handicap match at a handicap casket match? Who defeated The Undertaker in a handicap casket match at No Mercy 2005? All right, so yeah, the PWI stuff was pretty cool. I mean, you know, there were some interesting names that I don't believe really deserved to be in the spots that they were, but, you know, there were some that I agree with, so always controversial list. Dean Malenko was number one in the 1997 PWI 500, so that pretty much goes to show how you should take the PWI some years. So Brick Hogan, yeah.
Well, back in the 90s, it was, you remember the 90s, it was so intense, you know, because it was before the internet, so it meant a lot. You know, we hit the almanac. So, you know, anybody listening to Wrestling Zone Live, please let us know if you still purchase wrestling almanacs or still have them, because I know I still used to love them.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely, I do. I still have them. Absolutely. Bob Orton and Bob Orton Sr. Oh, man. Someone is a pro at this, man. Randy Orton and Bob Orton. Well, Randy Orton and Orton Sr. is what it says. Orton and Orton Sr. So you get the correct answer for that. Randy Orton and Bob Orton. So that is good stuff. Great, great stuff. Here we go. Here's the next one. Who did JBL defeat to retain the WWE Championship at No Mercy 2004? Who did JBL defeat to retain the WWE Championship at No Mercy? That is a really, really good cam shot right there, man. That is really, really cool. Technology at its finest. That is a very cool shot. There you go. J- just in case you can't read the card that's right in your face, who did JBL defeat to retain the WWE Championship at No Mercy 2004? All right, so let's figure that out, and I'm sure that there's some really good trivia bumps on the WrestleZone Facebook Live right now. Brick Hogan, she was recently interviewed by TMZ, and you know, she was talking about just as far as what will take, what it will take for Hulk Hogan to come back, and she said he's at the you know, he's working at the beach shop now, you know, doing very well, actually, Hogan's beach shop or something like that. But she said, you know, if someone tries to get at her or attack her or something like that, I don't know if it's the work. I don't know. I mean, the answer was just really weird. But bottom line is this. When do you think the WWE, I think it's not, I definitely don't think it's a matter of if, but when. When do you see the WWE back Hulk Hogan?
I have some misunderstanding. It's probably the first time we've heard it in. My sources are legit, as you know, Featherstone, so are your sources. Currently, right now, the WWE is strongly, all cats, considering bringing Hogan back for the Hall of Fame next year, as they're thinking, strongly considering as inducting the, as Vince says, the new Wilder, Hogan, Hall, and Nash.
Yes.
So they are seriously considering inducting Hogan, Hall, and Nash only, the original members of the NWO next year at the Hall of Fame. Of course, we've heard news about they're also considering Batista. And if this happens, of course, Batista will be the headliner. So, more so when that could be the earliest.
Also, talks
so
of Goldberg as well.
Yeah, talks of Goldberg, too. So, of course, to me, it seems kind of weird if you put Goldberg. If Goldberg does get in, they're not going to include Batista because that's two powerhouses. That's But yes, the NWO is seriously considering Hogan, Hall, and Nash being inducted. Brooke Hogan talking about this is a word. When have we ever talked about Brooke Hogan since? It's been years since Hogan's show. Nobody really cares about Brooke Hogan, but Hogan and Linda, and probably her boyfriend, or Nick.
Yeah.
So, or her friend that we don't even know, her friend. So, you know, no one bought her album, no one bought her music career. So
yeah.
To the point where you're trying to get yourself back being over, you're trying to get your name back to being relevant, and trying to get your enemy. Hogan, her dad is Hogan, the biggest star of all time in wrestling.
Yeah.
Don't come with me fighting. I just had a fan fucking me early this week about, oh, The Rock, and saying that, no,
Hogan
will always be the biggest name in wrestling history.
Hogan put
and
it on
second
the map,
to him will be Hogan, and second will be Austin. And then after that, you could fuss about The Rock or Cena.
Rick Flair,
Winkle, Nick Bob Winkle, Bruno. But I just think it's a word.
Andre, yeah.
Andre.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it really doesn't matter.
Killer Cohen.
Yeah. Skinner. How about Skinner? Or how about Baron Von Roski? He's in the top five. No, he's absolutely not in the top five. Rick Hogan is only famous because of her dad. Absolutely. Okay, here we go. See that? Undertaker. That is the correct answer. The Undertaker. Casket match, and the other match that I just asked, and as far as JBL, Undertaker didn't really have a good, very impressive record at No Mercy. Very interesting.
No, he didn't. Cena.
Yeah.
Taker.
Yeah, Brock. yeah. Here we go. Who did John Cena defeat to become United States champ at No Mercy 2004? Who did John Cena defeat to become United States champ at No Mercy 2004? All right. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's get back to the headlines. Bobby Lashley, he was on. I thought this was a very interesting story. I wrote this on the Inquisitor. Bobby Lashley, he actually was talking about, you know, it's kind of like a work shoot type of thing, because American Top Team really did want him to be loyal to MMA. But, you know, Bobby Lashley, he's, you know, 41, I believe now, or about to be 41. And it's one of those things that MMA, you know, he's had 17 fights, very, very impressive record. I believe 15-2. He's only lost, you know, 2 out of 17 fights. So that's awesome. That's really, really good. The only thing, man, you know, he said something very interesting. He said, you know, with the pro wrestling career, I can be here, you know, 10 years, 20 years. Of course, you know, he won't be wrestling at 60, but, he could be affiliated in the business somehow. But, you know, at least another good solid 5 years, you know, in the business, but definitely not in MMA. I don't see him lasting very long. I'm wondering, do you think the WWE would reach out to Bobby Lashley if there was, you know, one last run for him?
I don't know. I've met Lashley in person, talked to him. This was the 80s and early 90s. If you bring Lashley in, or as I contribute to someone that used to be a former fan, they called him Choco Brock, because he was like the black version of Brock Lesnar. You're going to bring in Choco Brock, you got to have someone talk for him. He has a tender voice. His voice is not intimidating. I mean, he looks the part, but he just cannot talk. He needs not to speak anything out of his mouth. And in the ring, he's fine. He just doesn't have that charisma. And, of course, you can bring – and WWE is all about marketing and promotion, you know, the brand and the characters. You bring Lashley in, what is he going to add? You put him on Raw, he's going to be the same thing as Apollo Crews. You might as well, like, didn't I tell you Featherstone? Early this year, he's going to put all the black bald men together. Did he not? Apollo Crews, Titus O'Neil, the black baldies. So you bring Lashley in, you must make it stable. So you put him on SmackDown. SmackDown is more or less character driven, but he's still going to get lost. Put him on NXT, he's going to look too overpowered. So you bring Lashley in, Choco Brock will be cool. They probably bring that same old theme music he had, the same old sparks.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, WWE's anti-fireworks.
No more pyro,
so,
yeah.
No more pyro, except for WrestleMania and Triple H. So, he brings Lashley in. What do you do? It's, I don't know. And like, I'm a Lashley fan. I think he's really underrated in the ring. But it's just, where is he going to fit in? He's too big of a name for NXT. But he doesn't have enough charisma without the right person behind him to make it on Raw or SmackDown.
Yeah.
Put him under Heyman.
Interesting. Someone asked, when will Horace Hogan get inducted? Funny.
Yeah. Who said that? Someone said that.
Please
give him a shout out.
Craig.
What's up, brother?
Craig.
I got it. Horace Hogan.
Craig,
you
get one of these. I'll give you, matter of fact, you know what? I'll give you one of these, Craig. You get a
Wait, Horace Hogan? You know who gets inducted at the Horace Hogan? Your favorite Featherstone and Craig's, Evad Sullivan.
Evad, yes. I would bring, I would induct
the
Yeti. Yeti?
Or Loch Ness.
The hug, yeah, yeah. The hug.
For Hogan in
there,
and that hug.
Oh, man.
You got it.
First segment in WCW history. They had the arms stitched out. What the heck were they doing? They were trying. I mean, it was like a bear hug, arms extended. Oh, who was that they were doing that to? Was it Savage or Luger? Who was it that they, when the Dungeon of Doom just came in and started invading?
It was Savage. Because Luger was a tuning in. It was Sammy. It was Sammy the homie because Luger was the twin. Yeah, Luger turned.
Yeah.
And you gotta give a shout out. Oh my gosh. To Kurosawa.
Yeah. Wow. WCW.
We should just do that. Just have a segment of this the Hall of Shame. Kurosawa, Yvette Sullivan, Craig Pittman, and that Call of Duty.
Absolutely.
Shout out to Craig. Anyone real quick, go back to, I think it was World War III, 95. And it's the ugliest match in history, almost as ugly as One Man Gang against Conan, Uncensored. It was Southern Craig Pittman, another one in the Hall of Fame, against Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and Craig Pittman had a Call of Duty / SOCOM Navy SEALs entrance with the zip line.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
God, that match was so ugly.
Those were the days, ladies and gentlemen. All right, so someone had the right answer. Great job. It is. Booker T. That is correct. Great job. Next question. This one's a little bit difficult. This is a little bit tougher. Here we go. Rene Dupre and Blank retain the WWE Tag Titles against Rey Mysterio and RVD at No Mercy 2004. Rene Dupre and Blank retain the WWE Tag Titles against Rey Mysterio and RVD at No Mercy 2004. All right, so let's get to the Raw and SmackDown. We'll be right back. Horse gets inducted. What about Jay Leno? Jay Leno. You know what? If WCW had a Hall of Fame, if they were still around, they probably would. I'm about 99% positive that they would induct Jay Leno, for sure. Without question, they would induct Jay Leno.
Let's talk about, shout out to Kevin Eubanks' ugly diamond cutter, or even Karl Malone's nasty, skinny octopus fingers messing up the diamond cutter sign.
Octo hands,
and them long blue. What were they, metallic tights from that shit at the beach? Kitty.
Yeah, those are like, that's old school skinny jeans, man. That's what skinny jeans looked like back in the day.
And you didn't realize, you know, in the NBA, everybody's like average, like 6'4", 6'5".
Right.
And he didn't realize how tall and skinny Malone was. So he got in the ring with Hogan and DDP.
Yep.
And them pants had to look like they was about 3 miles long.
Those pants were probably taller than like half of America.
I know it's the GOAT, but one of the few bad things I can say about the GOAT thing is a Sting against DDP, one of DDP's favorite matches, he told me, that Nitro.
Mm-hmm.
And when Sting messed up the diamond cutter sign, I'm like, Sting, how do you mess that up? I know you remember that.
Yeah.
How do you mess that up?
Yeah, that was funny. I knew that this was going to be difficult. No answers. And so here's the correct one. So you know what? There was no one got it wrong or no one got it right. So you guys got to get one. Unfortunately. Kenzo Suzuki.
Wow.
Yeah. I knew it. I told you.
He had a good career in Japan.
Yeah.
His wife. His theme music with Renee Dupree actually was a good mix.
Yeah, it was. It was. You know, it's one of those things that I'm a big fan of, like, mashup themes. And I think one of my favorite mashup themes is Cody Rhodes and Goldust when they did that. Their mashup
theme was a good one. That was a good one.
Don't say Reddit.
Jericho. Okay. Oh, no, that's bad. Jericho was the best.
Mm-hmm.
But the worst mashup theme in history is Sting and Lex Luger as a tag team.
Oh,
the worst.
Well,
nothing's worse than that. I'm sorry. Nothing's worse than that.
It
even Undertaker and Kane mashups. Hurricane
and
Kane.
Their mashup was okay. It was okay. But yeah, Jericho definitely was the best, and Cody Rhodes and Goldust. Awesome Truth was just not very good, and the Golden Truth, Goldust would come out and say the Golden Truth, and then all of a sudden,
but,
you don't know what time it is.
but I will say Awesome Truth mashup thing was bad, but it was hilarious because I always liked seeing the Miz and he would try to freestyle. Like R-Truth. To me, that was hilarious. And Miz even said that was funny. But, gosh.
Speaking of Goldust, Yeah. Speaking of Goldust, what are your thoughts on Raw?
You know, brother, like I said, this is probably the first time in history you're doing going on 5 years of my show and going on 6 of yours. I did not watch a second of Raw because of my schedule.
Mm.
I know what happened, but I've not laid eyes on Raw at all.
Yeah.
So
it was okay. It was okay. I think the Reigns and Jordan match was okay. Actually, it was really good. It was really good.
I take it back. I'm wrong. I did see 30 seconds of Raw while I was taking my class. I was getting a soda from the pizza shop where the class is located, and they did have Raw. And I did see 30 seconds of Reigns against Jordan, and I saw Justin Jordan, or Broham from Boondocks, the same guy, do the Crypto Crossface.
Yeah. It seemed like that's one
and
of
I'm like,
those
oh, wow.
Yeah.
So I guess when Triple H and I'm like, you can do the crossface, but if you're not a part of Triple H's pecking order, you can't do it.
You can't do it. All right, so listen, here's another question. Who retained the Cruiserweight Championship against Nunzio at No Mercy 2004? Who retained the Cruiserweight Championship against Nunzio at No Mercy 2004? All right. So as far as Raw is concerned, Cena, you know, just the toe-to-toe promos, terrible to me. I find no benefit in them whatsoever. I think it's, you know, but I did share before that I think that John Cena, I think the point of doing all this is for John Cena to look like a big star in order to make Roman Reigns' win. I mean, he's a big star regardless as far as the WWE is concerned. But I think the point is to make him huge, you know, as far as just like this big, measurable person. And, you know, it's that old school Vince, you know, thought process. You know, you make the person who is going to lose be kind of, you know, invincible, you know, leading into the pay-per-view, so that win will look and seem bigger. So, but at the same time, it's one of those things, like, it's not really helping Roman Reigns that they're going through all this crap, you know. Got a question. Who do we think Goldust is going to be managing? Did they drop the idea of finding a new star? Yeah, it seems like they did. I've heard some things, some inside things as far as just Goldust actually tweeted that it's not over, but It does not seem as if there's much coming with that, because as we saw, I mean, he got just brutalized by Bray Wyatt. I think that that was just a weird booking match. I mean, I understand that, you know, they try to find someone with face paint, but just the heel Goldust, I thought it was DOA from the beginning with him and with R-Truth. It's just one of those things, like, I really didn't see that they were going to do anything with Goldust anyways. So, really unfortunate. But, you know, I think that if they turn Goldust babyface, I mean, I like the concept of a Goldust and Bray Wyatt feud. I think it was one of those things that Bray Wyatt, you know, he goes from feud to feud anyways. You know, he goes from lateral feud to lateral feud regardless. I think with him and Goldust, I think it brings just character-driven type of element to Bray Wyatt's feuds.
Bray Wyatt is WWE's fault. It is how they book stuff. You can't blame Bray if WWE poor booking, whether it be Vince, whether it be Michael Hayes, or whoever else. And we talked about this tons of times. Bray Wyatt has these downloadable content feuds that never ends. Him against Ryback, him against whoever, Rollins, him feuding with Ziggler for a week, and defeating. We just don't know. Ambrose. They don't
end. He's treated with the entire Shield.
Yes,
he feuded with Reigns, anyone but you, Roman. He feuded with Ambrose, you know, when he came back for the Hell in a Cell, feuded with him, and he feuded with Rollins this year.
And he feuded with Harper for 3 weeks, and nothing got resolved.
Yeah, nothing got resolved at all. Yeah, just lateral feuds.
And it's DLC content, and like you said, character-driven. Goldust is one of the feuds, and he's one of the ones that's really, Goldust has been in WWE, since I believe 95, I remember when he debuted. By the way, Goldust has never had a consistent finishing move. It's always changed. But anyway, he's one of the few that's left that has a bizarre character that you can really have fun and explore. Because let's face it, Goldust back in the day was very what's the political term that they was using back in the 90s that they didn't want to say gay, homosexual. He was very erotic.
Oh,
very flamboyant and erotic and bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
And he had Tourette's, and now he's a combination. So he's the only one there that has a character that you can really tweak and have fun with that would kind of pick with Bray. If you look at it, Bray isn't scared of anybody. He gets off and gets the enjoyment of a challenge of someone that's just as crazy as him. Because apparently Finn Balor isn't, because Finn Balor is Finn Balor with the kid-sized jacket, and then he's facing a demon, which is no different. And then now at No Mercy, it's man. WWE app says
man to man
is going up face, man to man. What is the difference? Man, so what was SummerSlam? What is a man-to-man challenge? Is that not what we see every week on Raw or SmackDown or Shotgun Saturday Night?
Just listen to
that.
I go against Finn Balor, the demon character. He beat me, so now my next objective is to beat him man to man. And I beat him on the Raw before SummerSlam, man to man.
Not only that, I beat regular Finn Balor with the four kids jacket. I lose to the demon, and now, like you said, man to man. So what have we been watching? What is going on here? First is like Ronnie Garvin said, and then it's one of my all-time favorite Bleak Wizard Botches when he was talking about that cage match against Flair. 5 minute rounds take fists, 5 minute rounds take tens. Ronnie Garvin, it's the same thing, brother. But hey, it's the 80s at NWA, and you didn't have to script everything, but yeah. When that came across the screen on my phone and I was at work at my shoot job and I bust out laughing, Finn Balor's going to face Bray Wyatt man to man.
Man to
is that a stipulation? Is that a match?
Right. Yeah. What is Vanta like? What's the gimmick? What's the stipulation? Like what? Like if you win, you get to say I'm a better man than you are. Like I mean, what's the gimmick?
It doesn't make sense because psychologically, and if you go by the character, they technically aren't man to man. Finn Balor is a man that possesses a demon, so he's kind of like Michael Myers.
And Bray Wyatt calls himself a god. So how is it man to man? So does Bray Wyatt? I'm sorry, I don't mean to make you choke, but does Bray Wyatt does he have to denounce himself? He, you know, he's such a god, man. You know, and it's like, because at No Mercy, I'm gonna have to relieve myself from being a god and become a man so I can fight you man to man. Like there's nothing good with this going on at all.
I think we reached the age of WWE to where it's like anime. And I mean, he's anybody listening to anime fan can hit up us on live chat. You know, it's like Dragon Ball Z, where I think they all have forms. Like you had imperfect so and so, you had Bray Wyatt the God and the Eater of Worlds and all these 80,000 nicknames, and now it's Bray Wyatt the Man. So is it Bray Wyndham?
Are you Bray Rotunda? like is that what you're
saying? Is it Husky Harris? Yeah. Is it Husky Harris? That's what it is.
Bray
Husky
Harris.
Harris. Yeah. I guess
Bray Harris.
Y'all know WWE.
Wyndham Rotunda,
It was hilarious. Fans all the time, they crap on. We do also a lot with our respective shows. You know, we get emails and tweets and texts and DMs and what have you. People want to get on Anthem, formerly known as TNA, featuring the Impact Dials, Cross the Line of the AOWL, whatever you want to call it.
Cross the Line.
So if people get on TNA or whatever you call it, Anthem Isle of Impact, it sounds like an old church, don't it? But yet WWE sometimes don't do anything better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I'm still wondering what happened to Big Show's ironclad contract.
I mean, he's still there. He's been there for a long time. He's been there for 18 years. What do you think of Vince's obsession with wrestlers having only one name all of a sudden? That's a good point. That's a really good point.
I was thinking about that too.
Good question, George. Elias, I like the whole who wants to walk the lies. I think he's doing a fantastic job as a heel. No direction. No Mercy is coming along, and it's just not. There's nothing going with them. Good heel character, but I mean, I think Cesaro worked. I think Neville worked. Yeah. Well, you know, Rusev was Alexander Rusev. You know, that worked too.
Yeah, it's
I think Goldberg. Yeah.
William Goldberg.
Well, you know, Bill Goldberg or Goldberg. You know, they're interchangeable to me.
Batista. No more Dave Batista.
Well, yeah, I think Batista really helped, you know, him, but Elias Samson, I don't think that his character is strong enough. I mean, Elias Samson just seems like a drifter name, you know what I mean? Like, I think he should be a name. He shouldn't really be necessarily, you know, a one-name gimmick. I think his thing is just he's a drifter. And Elias Samson really fits the bill on that. All right, real quick, here's the answer. Spike Dudley. Spike Dudley is the cruiserweight answer here. All right, here's the next question. Here we go. Who did Batista defeat to retain the World Heavyweight Championship at No Mercy 2005? Who did Batista defeat to retain the World Heavyweight Championship at No Mercy 2005. All right. So, as far as, I mean, because Raw overall, I think it was decent. I think, you know, it's funny because they did the Bray Wyatt and Braun Strowman and Goldberg. From what I've heard, they did it at that hour because of football. You know, they're making Braun Strowman look fantastic, by the way. I mean, that guy, I mean, WWE has everything right when it comes to Braun Strowman. They're doing so well with him. And just having him just take out Brock Lesnar is just, you know, awesome stuff. And then they had the 8-man tag at the end. So it just really didn't make any sense. It was just a throwaway tag match. It really didn't make any sense. SmackDown was better to me. It just seems like what they're doing. And I think of Naomi, man. It just really seems like they're letting go of Naomi. Unfortunately, she's really good, but it seems like, and it doesn't make sense because Carmella's a heel, Natalya's a heel, but they're kind of feuding the two together. It just doesn't make sense at all to me. Dillinger didn't even deserve. I mean, I know they were doing the whole U.S. Open Challenge with him, but that guy, unfortunately, he's back to NXT. He's back to losing all the time. And New Day and Usos. I mean, you know, we're talking about
give it up.
We talk about Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman, but I think, man, New Day and Usos, as far as match quality is concerned, they have been putting on some clinics. I mean, I love watching the New Day and Usos compete against
each
other.
Yeah, we'll give them that.
Absolutely. And then Dolph Ziggler, his mock gimmicks, I think that's funny. Like I said, was telling JTG, I don't think it goes anywhere, unfortunately. But I do think that, as far as Kevin Owens is concerned, I think that could possibly go somewhere. I think, it just goes to show, for Vince McMahon to come out, you know, from hibernation, they kept saying, you know, first time in four years, for him to come out from hibernation and take those type of bumps at 72 years old. Come on, ladies and gentlemen. I haven't seen something like that since Pummel by the Nexus. And it wasn't even like a bloody type of thing. Man, I mean, they really – it just really seems like it has to be like a Triple H thing as far as just really putting a lot of stock in Kevin Owens because – I mean, for Vince to come out and take that type of beating and end up, you know, getting blood the hard way, man, I mean, that just really goes to show that they've got a lot going as far as just their stock in Kevin Owens. So I'm interested to see where it goes. I'm interested in Kevin Owens in a sense more now than I have in a long time because it really seems like they're pulling for him. So answers. I see some answers, but I don't see the correct answer. So that is, go ahead. What were you saying, Evan?
It's funny. And like I said, fans, knowing what you get mad at me, tats or feathers on is just saying it's out of fun and just giggles. How dysfunctional the McMahon family is. How one month they can be at each other's throats, and the next month they're going to be for each other. And I'm sure it's like any family that we've known personally can be our family. Just last year, Vince was against Shane. You know, yeah. He did the weird stipulation where he's telling Taker, you know, about the whole fight thing. And then he kind of gives Shane the job anyway because, you know, Shane lost, he liked his guts.
Yep.
But now you have Kevin Owens, who be all the crap out of Vince, which you already know what's going to happen. That's going to add fuel to the fire. And because this McMahon got beat up, and that's Shane's father, that's my dad, that's going to make Shane want to fight Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
So I love just how it's just flip-flop. It's nothing against it. It's just funny.
Yeah. Definitely some inconsistencies for sure, yeah. All right, Flavor of the Week, ladies and gentlemen. We got a couple more trivia questions, but let's get into the Flavor of the Week real
quick. It is now time for the Flavor of the Week.
Eddie Guerrero is the correct answer. All right, real quick, rapid fire. Here's another one. Triple H won twice, then lost the WWE Championship at No Mercy. Who were the opponents? Tick-tock. He beat Randy Orton in Umaga, and then he lost to Randy Orton at the end of the show. Last question. Real quick, fast round. Who defeated Bobby Lashley, Batista, and Finlay to retain the World Heavyweight Championship at No Mercy 2006? And tick-tock. Real quick, what you got? I'm about to pull up the answer. Coming in 5, 4, 3. Actually, let's get a drum roll for this one. This is the last question, so here we go. King Booker! One of the fantastic, one of my favorite gimmicks of all time in WWE.
Yeah, let it.
Booker! All right, real quick, we got a few minutes left. Let's get into the play of the week. Grading 2004, let's start off. Eddie Guerrero defeated Luther Reigns. Spike Dudley defeated. Spike Dudley defeated Nunzio to retain the Cruiserweight Championship. That was one of the questions. Billy Kidman defeated Paul London. Ronan Dupree and Kenzo Suzuki defeated Rey Mysterio and RVD. That was another one of the questions for tonight. Big Show defeating Kurt Angle. John Cena defeating Booker T. Another one of the questions. Hoss Rico defeating the Dudley Boys in the mixed tag team. Hoss Rico and Miss Jackie defeating the Dudleys and Don Marie. And JBL defeating The Undertaker in the last ride match. What you got, real quick?
C+.
Yeah. C+ sounds about right to me, too. All right, real quick, 2005. You got Legion of Doom, Animal Heidenreich, and Christy Hammy defeating Eminem and Melina. And then you have Bobby Lashley defeating Sami Zayn. That was his debut. Chris Benoit defeating Booker T. And Christian and Orlando Jordan. Fatal 4-Way for the U.S. Championship. Kennedy defeating Hardcore Holly. JBL defeating Rey Mysterio. Orton and the Ortons defeating The Undertaker. Juventud defeating Nunzio to win the Cruiserweight Championship. And then Batista defeating Eddie Guerrero to retain the World Heavyweight Championship.
I'll give that a D. I mean, it's okay to pay the view, but just for the nostalgia, the fact that you said Juventud, one of Eddie's last matches, I'll give it a D.
B- for me. Hardy defeating Greg Helms. Paul London and Brian Kendrick defeating Casey James and Stevens. MVP defeating Marty Gardner. Mr. Kennedy defeating The Undertaker by disqualification. Rey Mysterio defeating Chavo Guerrero. False Go Anywhere. Benoit defeating William Regal. And then Booker defeating Lashley, Batista, and Finlay. This is 2006. What you got?
B+. Take the V, actually. Take the V, especially the main event.
Yeah, I think it was solid. Good to be. Triple H defeating Randy Orton to win the WWE Championship. Kennedy, Lance Cade, and Trevor Murdoch defeating Jeff Hardy, London, and Kendrick, six man. CM Punk defeating Big Daddy V by disqualification to retain the ECW Championship. Triple H defeating Umaga to retain the WWE Championship. Finlay defeating Rey Mysterio. What exit? That was a no contest. Beth Phoenix defeating Candice Michelle. Batista defeating the Great Khali. So Beth Phoenix defeating Candice to get the Women's Championship. Batista, the Punjabi Prison Mask. That was quite bad. And then Randy Orton winning back from Triple H. What you got on that?
C+, but the fact that I was surprised that Triple H lost at a pay per view, Orton won, then I give it an A. Cool job, you president, but I still give it a B.
Yeah. Absolutely. I give it a B-.
All
right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for all of your interaction. Wonderful, wonderful interaction tonight on the Crave Wrestling Facebook page. We're running out of time for tonight. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, follow us at Crave Wrestling on Twitter and join the Facebook fan page, Crave Wrestling. One last shout out to JTG for the wonderful Q&A tonight. Follow him at JTG1204. And
yes,
until next week, God bless. Of course, the Under Matt Radio Show, 7 p.m. Vlogs Radio on Tuesdays.
Yes.
Until next week, ladies and gentlemen, have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful day. Wonderful evening. God bless. And
an honor.
And we'll be back next week. Chris Featherstone. Thank you.